Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
James.
Hello.
And Brody.
Nah, just joking, I'm here. Hello.
That long pause, I thought your internet had gone kaput again. Let me tell you guys, this podcast is going to be interesting because already that intro, I feel like, it's knocked the wind out of me. This is the first time I think one of us has recorded whilst full of COVID. I don't know. Have we done this before?
I think you had COVID in the break last time, so I don't think we would have. Otherwise, I'm sure we would have still recorded.
Yeah. It hit me hard last night. And so, yeah, the second time that I've had it. And it's no more fun the second time around, let me tell you that. But Shannon, speaking of fun the second COVID. Time round, how much fun are you having with Ape Escape at the moment?
I haven't actually played a whole lot, but I'm very excited that it's leading PlayStation's new subscription service, as it should be.
What a fake fan. A fair weather fan,
if you will. I am a fake fan. Just I'm very hardworking, Brody, so all work, no fun for this boy.
I take it that'll be the first thing you spend some time in, though, as part of the new PlayStation Plus tiers.
Yeah, I think as for the classics, like outside of Ape Escape and like Siphon Filter, there's not a whole lot there that hasn't already been there. Like the Jack games are there and a few other cool ones, but they're already available on PS5. So yeah, Ape Escape's definitely the biggest in my eyes. Everyone should play it, so they make another.
I feel like you've done such a good job evangelizing it at this stage that people are genuinely considering that. So props to you. Brody, have you had an opportunity to check out the new subscription tiers at all? Like, how is the service kind of shaping up in your mind already?
I've not had a chance to have a look at it yet. Much like Shannon, I'm a hardworking boy this week. There's 7 people at my work who have gone down with COVID, so the rest of us are just getting absolutely fucked on. So
rampant again.
Yeah, it's cooked. But yeah, I mean, I feel like the response to it has been fairly mixed, I guess. I guess there's some lukewarm sentiment toward it. There's some positive stuff. So I'm sort of still deciding where I'm going to come down as far as which one I subscribe to. Like, I had sort of thought I'd just go for the big one just because why not? But yeah, I guess I'll just see where it sort of nets out. I'm not in a rush to, you know, upgrade at any point, as much as Shannon's telling us all that we have to play Ape Escape, otherwise we are expelled from the site. So I thought that was a pretty rude policy, but it is what it is, I guess.
Quite the threat. I was like pretty pleasantly surprised, as I believe you were too, Shannon, based on the article you wrote today about just how easily they'd kind of spelled out what the upgrades looked like. I expected that whole process to be quite complicated, but it was quite nice to log in and see, oh, okay, like for $35, I can see out my subscription and get the extra tier, or for another $10 for $45 until February when it expires, I can go up to the deluxe tier. That to be a lot more cumbersome than it is, but I was pleased that it was kind of nicely laid out like that. And frankly, because there is like that much of a, that's that little of a price difference, I reckon I might actually go up to the deluxe tier, which I wasn't expecting to.
I was surprised how well it was laid out, just because of all the problems that they had in, I think, Asia when it first rolled out. Like, it did quite a good job of telling you like how many days you had left and exactly how much it would cost. And it didn't see too many people being like shocked with the figure. Or I feel like most people were happy to just upgrade to whatever they wanted. So that was good. I don't think people were confused as we all expected them to be when it all rolled out.
James, I don't know. I know we've spoken about it plenty in the past, but is there anything about the service that's appealing to you? Any of the classic games, perhaps?
The one that I do like is obviously Siphon Filter. I already own that. I didn't realize I already owned that, so I downloaded that and got my first trophy just before we went live today. It doesn't really appeal to me yet. I think if the like range of retro games becomes a bit bigger, it might be enough. I have an Xbox, I'm on Game Pass, like I don't need both really. Like I need the basic for both, but I don't need that kind of subscription Game Pass wise for both. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I wasn't really looking at the deluxe tier all that much because the list of classic games didn't really speak to me all that much, but maybe I would try and play some Ape Escape. But yeah, the deluxe tier, even for the likes of Demon's Souls, which I have considered playing recently, like, it's pretty good value for money even just to play that one game.
I will say, I think that extra tier is actually, like, really good value. Like, if you're picking up a PS5 for the first time and you're getting, like, Returnal, Valhalla, Guardians of the Galaxy, Miles Morales, like, Demon's Souls, like, there's Ghost of Tsushima, Death Stranding. Like, it's good. There's a lot of good games there. I think the deluxe is still lacking, but I kind of get why with these things. Like, if you're updating it twice a month, you kind of have to leave yourself room to add games, because obviously with classic games, new ones aren't being made. So you do have to leave yourself some room. Like, but yeah, I think the extra tier, like, if you're picking up a PS5 tomorrow, like, I'd highly recommend getting on that and not buying any games, really.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how it kind of shapes up throughout the year and, I guess, into future as well. But speaking of into the future and shaping up in the year ahead, that is very much the theme for today. I'm eager to quiz you all on your most anticipated game of the year. But before we do that, it is rapidly approaching the end of June, which means we've almost seen half of the year out. And it's usually at this sort of point where we take stock and discuss what our game of the year has been so far. I'll start by saying I feel like the first half of this year has been pretty quiet, and my list of games that I'd played that were released this year that I was terribly excited about wasn't exhaustive. But Brody, maybe I'll start with you. What game of 2022 has been your favorite so far?
It's a good question. I feel like I'm going to have a little bit of recency bias, which I think is always a risk when we do things like this. I'm currently playing Neon White, which is a game that a lot of people are talking about at the minute on the little Twitter echo chamber, and I'm having a lot of fun with that. I can definitely see the appeal. It's basically the elevator pitch, I guess, would be for it, that it's anime as fuck, it's a bit weird, and it's basically the core loop is that it's like the gauntlet from Titanfall 2. Like, it's just like levels where you've got to, like, run this little route, kill all the enemies en route, and just get the best time you can, sort of thing. But yeah, the setting of it's really cool, and I think it's really interesting. I'm having a lot of fun with it, so
I'm glad you are playing this one, because this is like one that I've like you say, seen people talking about on Twitter, and it's caught my eye. How does the card aspect of it factor in? Because that was maybe the only hang up I have. Like, the idea of kind of card based gameplay doesn't excite me.
To me, it doesn't really feel like a card game per se. Like, I know things are represented by cards, but they're essentially weapon pickups. Like, so, like the green ones, for example, I think are like the it's like an assault rifle type thing, and they've got like a primary fire and an alt fire, and the alt fire generally helps you in sort of like transit situations. So, like, you can use it as a gun to kill the demons, or you can use the alt fire to like bounce yourself up in the air and stuff like that to get places easier and stuff like that. I'm sure I'm getting those details wrong, like the exact details, but that's basically how it works. So the cards are essentially just, yeah, the weapon pickups in the map. They just look like cards, but it's not playing how I imagine you thought it did. And I had the same concern, because I thought it was going to be like a Phantom Dust type thing, like because I feel like that's more actually intrinsically tied to cards and stuff like that. But no, it's pretty good. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm probably about a third of the way through the story from what I'm gathering. But as far as the rest of the year goes, I don't know. It's a bit of a mixed bag. Like, I liked Card Shark quite a bit. That's a Devolver game, so I guess I've got that inherent bias. As for everything else, yeah, like, I'm just sort of flicking back through the list what's it called? It's called Wikipedia, this website. I don't know if you've heard of it. And yeah, I mean, like, there's obvious ones that jump out, like, you know, you got like Horizon, but that didn't gel with me. Elden Ring wasn't for me. Probably the only other one that sort of is in the conversation for me might be Sifu. So, like, Sifu or, yeah, Neon White at the minute. But yeah, you're right, it has been a bit down, even though it does feel like there's been a lot of games released. It's just nothing's really 10 out of 10 wow.
What about yourself, James? What games have stood out to you in the first half of this year?
I think Elden Ring is the most obvious, which was not going to be, I don't think, but I just was reminded of it. But
oh, interesting.
I,
I would have guessed for sure you would have said Elden Ring.
Yeah, I don't necessarily... Like, I think Elden Ring is genuinely... Like, I just think it has such a different open world style to other games that was quite refreshing. I don't know if it was to do with, like, you know... I just feel like every day I would get home and just, like, jump back into that and put another 5 to 6 hours into it, you know, almost every night. Like, it was just something that really grabbed me. I did, like, make the effort to try and play, like, a lot of other stuff that I wouldn't normally play. Like, I think Tunic was also, like, quite great, even though I think it was a little bit hard and a little bit obtuse at times, but I think really, really fantastic game. But the multiplayer games that came out that I had a lot of fun with were, like, say, Rainbow Six Extraction and Evil Dead. Like, they both have been really fun. I feel like Extraction is already done. Like, I don't see there being updates or anything for that yet. So I think that's, like, which is a shame because I thought it was quite a solid, like, adaptation of the typical Tom Clancy multiplayer vibe. Evil Dead is still getting updates and I still play that. So, yeah. But I think, like, overall, it's definitely Elden Ring for me, which is quite boring. And
well, it might surprise you, James, but I reckon I might actually say Elden Ring too. That's
very interesting, Yui.
Which is funny to say, seeing as I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of that game, and I'm certainly taking my precious time with it. But in considering this question, I feel like Elden Ring is the game that's kind of stuck with me the most this year, and I've spent the longest kind of thinking about when I'm not playing it, which it tends to be the sign of a good game, I suppose. I mean, I certainly have my issues with it. Like, for how dense it is kind of systems-wise, I think it does a pretty poor job at kind of introducing you to it all. And I think it's kind of given some affordances in terms of expectations for an open world, given as it's the first From Software open world. Otherwise, like, I don't think it's necessarily rewriting the rule book for that genre. But like every time I do play a FromSoft game, albeit is pretty infrequently, I'm amazed at just how tight their combat mechanics are, how unbelievable the enemy design is, the fact that they keep coming up with more and more grotesque, freaky things and finding ways to surprise players. Like, that always surprises me. But yeah, I think Elden Ring, kind of the one that's made the biggest impression this year, which was strange, because I would have said, you had assumed maybe Horizon Forbidden West or Dying Light 2, two games I was really excited for, might have taken that top spot. But I think both of those games struggled from very kind of slow openings, and Horizon Forbidden West didn't feel like a sequel, I think, until three quarters of the way through. And similarly with Dying Light to that as well, like, it just kind of was a bit sluggish from the get-go and just didn't quite grab me in the way that I hoped they would. But Shannon, maybe you feel a bit different. Which game was your favorite this year so far?
Yeah, like, obviously I didn't get more than like 5 to 10 hours through like Elden Ring and Horizon, but I think like Kirby and the Forgotten Land, looking at games I actually played and finished, like, that was one of my favorites this year. Like, not, again, not a 10 out of 10, but just in terms of like what's come out so far this year. And I remember actually standing out to me at the time, Kirby, Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga was really fun for a weekend. Otherwise, yeah, really enjoyed Extraction, playing that with James, and more recently Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, finished that in one sitting, and it wasn't super long, but it was definitely a fun time. It's been an okay, like, I feel like there was like a really solid like month of games, like, where everything came out, and then it's really, there's been not a lot for the other months of the year.
I think February hit like quite hard, especially for me with like Elden Ring and Dying Light and Horizon, like, all kind of hitting within the same like 3-4 weeks span, I think it was.
I almost wish all, like, there was like 4 or 5 games in that period, and I wish they were a bit more spread out so I could have enjoyed them all individually.
And it's funny, like, I think some of the best experiences I've had this year is going back and playing older games that I hadn't previously had the time or the kind of wherewithal to play, like Returnal, for instance. Like, I know James will, it'll frustrate James to hear, but I think I would have ranked that game much higher in my game of the year list last year, like, had I seen that story to fruition. But it wasn't until the kind of co-op mode came out that I had the ability to do that. Brody, to go back to you though, and looking ahead at the year to come, do you think your game of the year will likely be different by the end of 2022?
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. I'm just sort of looking at Wikipedia again, and like I can easily pick out like a game a month that like really appeals to me, like. July, you've got Stray. Like, I've been waiting for that game for a while, so the fact that that's got a date now, like, I'm super excited to play that. August, Cult of the Lamb, like another seriously broody game, like another Devolver hit in the making. September, I'm not sure if it's actually confirmed for September. It's in here as September, but apparently, like, Grounded is getting its full release, and I played a little bit of that with Shannon, obviously, and James, did you play with us as well? Someone else played with us, I swear.
Grounded. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I think James was there.
Yeah. Just a very forgettable experience.
Maybe clearly. I was just streaming about it.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm sort of looking for a multiplayer game to get into, and that seems like the most of my speed. It's not necessarily competitive, so that's going to be good
Fall
for me.
Fall Guys, let's go again.
Let's go Fall Guys, yeah, 100%. You know, October's got Scorn, which I'm ready for, no matter how penile it might be. And then obviously it gets... October looks like the month, I think. That's the month of promise at this stage. But obviously, yeah, and then you've got like Pentiment and the Callisto Protocol to sort of like round out the year for like those bigger releases. But who knows if God of War falls in there somewhere, and there's a lot of other games that are meant to be coming that aren't dated yet, like Mario and Rabbids, which we'll hear about at the end of the month, allegedly. And I'm pretty sure Somerville is going to be coming out this year. So once that gets a date, that's very much on my radar as well. But I think there is a lot of cool stuff still to come this year. Like even the return of Monkey Island, for Christ's sake. Like Monkey Island's back after 30 years. So that's going to be cool. So to answer the question, I think my game of the year will be in the back half of the year. I'd be surprised if it's...
Is there one you could point to and say this is the one I'm most excited for?
Oh, that's hard.
Is that asking you to pick a favorite child?
That's hard. Look, when we were in the sort of fallout of Summer Games Fest, I said the Callisto Protocol is probably the game I'm looking most forward to this year, and I think that's still the case. But it is tough. It is tough. Like, I won't lie, I'm very keen for Somerville as a person who like loves like the Playdead games and stuff like that. So, of the dated games this year, I'd say the Callisto Protocol is definitely the one I've got my eye toward.
Well, a fair few similarities between your list and mine. I've got Scorn on mine and Underlined, because I think that is probably the one I'm most looking forward to. I feel like even the last episode we spoke about that game and just how excited I was for it, but I'm very much in the mood for that. To add to your list as well, Forspoken, I'm still like curious to see how that shapes up. Obviously, Amy Hennig, I put a lot of stock in, and Gary Winter for that matter as well. So I'm interested to see how that game shapes up, but like I'm kind of cautious about it too. Just kind of seeing what we've seen in the game so far, it feels quite limited, and I just don't quite know if that's gonna all pan out in the end. I'm curious, maybe James, I suspect you've got an opinion on this, but The Last of Us Part 1, the remake, do you think that's allowed to factor into Game of the Year conversations at all?
You're such a dickhead.
You're just really setting James up like, do to I be have slaughtered.
It's like the only time I ever talk to any of you outside of work is to argue about how like, we don't need it. Should it factor in? I mean, I would like to see it and play it before I make a choice here in June 2022.
I think on established precedence, I think it has to.
Yeah.
Like I agree. We've had plenty of remakes like factor in the voting.
Yeah. I remember Resident Evil 2 like doing well amongst our Game of the Year discussion.
I'm thinking Game of the Generation that we said Resident Evil 2 couldn't
factor. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Did we actually say that, or did it just not make the votes?
No, I think it was tied. Oh, maybe it was tied with something in 10.
So there was a tie, and then it was decided.
And then we decided it got bumped for a clearly better game.
I love it.
No, but I think it has to factor in. I mean, like, yeah, we've given votes to the Mass Effect collection, for Christ's sake. So that's even less effort in theory. So, anyway, please, James, go on. tell us how much you hate The Last of Us.
I think we should just move on from this topic.
Okay, well, The Last of Us Part 1, like, obviously, I'm excited to jump back into that. I doubt, honestly, like, I was kind of stirring the pot somewhat, go figure. I can't see that really, like, factoring to my Game of the Year list. I
guarantee it'll be top
maybe
they three.
Do something radically different with it. Maybe, like, the AI three. Overhauls and stuff, like, shocked. Feel substantial enough.
I feel like if you were just to play The Last of Us again, that would factor into your top 10 experiences of the year. I feel like that's a safe bet.
What I feel like Ewan would be all about High on Life. Is that me or is that a Ewan ass game?
I'm a bit like hit and miss with kind of Justin Roiland's brand of comedy, to be honest.
Right.
But yeah, I think the game does look really cool. Is that coming out this year?
October, yeah.
October, okay.
Same day as Gotham Knights.
Okay, well, yeah, add that to the list. The other one I was going to mention, which I don't think you did, Brody, was Sons of the Forest as well. Definitely. The Forest I really enjoyed. As you all know, I'm big into my sort of survival games, and that one being a cooperative one, me and my mates had a good old time playing through that. And it wasn't... We played it, like, much later after the fact as well. And so we've got a bit more kind of recency to it too. But yeah, I'm excited to see how that one shapes up, assuming it manages to release this year as planned. Shannon, I know you and I have discussed this a little bit offline. What sort of percentage likelihood do you give God of War coming out this year? I know Corey Barlog's over on Twitter posting GIFs trying to reassure everyone that it is coming out this year, but there's kind of been talk about it, like, shifting back into November and then December. Like, are you kind of 80% confident that it's coming out this year?
100% confident.
Wow.
100% confident. Yeah. Okay.
The great man. The great man, well, Corey Barlog, does not return to Twitter if this game is getting delayed. Like, he would just be setting... And he's literally been responding to every single one of David Jaffe's tweets. Like, even ones that are not related to God of War. Like, he is going in. And I just feel like you do not do that unless you're confident
this is
happening.
In that case, if you're 100% certain, I think, like, God of War Ragnarok has a huge, huge chance of being my game of the year based on how much I love the first.
Look, if it's not coming this year, I think it's like January. Like, but it's definitely getting a date soon, I think. But I think it's this year. Everyone's scared. Everyone's moving out of this holiday for that reason.
James, I think I skipped over you, so let me circle back. What games are you most looking forward to the latter half of this year?
It's actually boring because everybody is kind of the same as me. I wasn't really
The Last of Us.
No, wait. Is your answer? No, not that. This is a James pick, but like as somebody who like grew up on forums and you read about this game all the time, and then Nintendo throws out like a sympathy tweet to promote it every 2 weeks. But like Live Alive looks quite good. Like that is a game that I used to always read about growing up and to actually be able to play it in English, and it's like seems to have quite like an interesting premise and stuff. That's probably my big Switch game. I wish I could say more for Nintendo. I just don't have much excitement for anything that's really coming for them. Cult of the Lamb looks really good too. Can't wait for that. Scorn is probably the big one. I think Scorn and Callisto are probably the two big ones for me too. Just because they're horror tinged and they are fully original, which I am always going to be a fan of.
I love how you just like
horror tinged is conservative.
Yeah,
that's very conservative.
I love it. Yeah,
I guess it's more than there's more than a tinge, but I don't know what I don't know the degrees of tinge, but it's the highest one.
Horror coated, maybe.
Yeah, if Atomic Heart is still coming this year, that's also got my eye. I'm not really convinced it's coming though. Similarly, no. I'm not really convinced that Forspoken is a game. I feel like it's just a demo still. I just don't know. I just don't know what's going on there. Like, I know they delayed it, but like they're probably working very hard. But I just don't see more than that vertical slice that they keep.
It seems like we've seen a lot of the game and not much all at the same time. Like, that's a weird thing to say, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it just
no, I agree.
Like, it seems like we've seen a lot of the game, bizarre. But all of the same stuff, maybe.
Yeah, it's almost like I feel the same about Dead Space, which is January, but like I just don't believe these games are coming or exist in playable forms completely. I don't know. High on Life looks great too. That's meant to be quite Metroid-y. So if anybody likes Metroid, I think that's one to keep an eye out for. Looks like a funny Metroid Prime, which to me is kind of similar to what was that Invasion of the Something Planet? Do you know the one that came out like a while ago? I think it was last year.
No.
Which one?
Journey to the Savage Planet?
Yes, that one. Yeah. yeah, it gives me that vibe a little bit, but with probably better writing. And then
certainly just as colourful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then like Ewan was saying, I think Sons of the Forest could be interesting, but on the other side of that coin, like multiplayer horror, I'm very keen to see if Outlast Trials makes this year. I feel like they've been working on that for a while. I liked the first two Outlast games, but I did feel like the second one was a little bit whatever. But I think like having like a weird co-op Cold War era vibe to it would maybe be something different enough to kind of get me interested. So either of those two games, if they make it this year, it'd be quite cool too.
I a good year for horror tinged games, really.
Another few that I can't remember if Brody mentioned, but Saints Row is on my list of games that I'm definitely keen for. I don't think there's anything else like that this year. And also Hogwarts Legacy, another one that we don't have a date for, and I'm not convinced it's this year, but it must be soon.
I think it will be. I don't know.
Like, to be honest, before we had this chat, I was like, what is coming this year? And now I'm like, there's actually quite a lot coming in like that 2 or 3 month window.
Yeah, none of us mentioned Call of Duty as well, obviously, which you expect every year. Call of Duty. I know this particular one lots are excited for. So yeah,
the Village DLC. I don't know if James said that, but I know it's not a game. But yeah, that's something I'm keen for as well.
Yeah, which one? No, for sure, big time.
Village DLC.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that. That's really bad on my part. It is. As a fan.
Very fan.
Are you?
Yeah, that's disgusting. So embarrassing. I have to turn all my achievements
that's
in.
That's like 5 minutes going by without Shannon mentioning Ape Escape. That's...
Yeah.
Nuts. Look, I'm always hopeful. It's on.
That'll be interesting like to see how that plays out.
Is anyone keen for Lord of the Rings Gollum?
I was literally about to say no one mentioned
Gollum. No. Even though it's like my favourite property. No.
Why would you? Why would you?
Yeah, not a vibe. Not feeling. It's a no from me at this stage. I'm just going over the list.
I didn't hear anyone mention it, but I'm actually keen for Marvel's Midnight Suns as well. I'm a big fan of those tactical. Yeah, I'm a big fan of those tactical games. And
you just reminded me, Gotham Knights, too. I don't think anyone mentioned that.
I think I'm more keen for Madden 23 than Marvel Midnight Suns, if I'm being honest.
Wow.
I just feel like Mario Rabbids is going to scratch that itch better than Midnight Suns.
Speak for yourself.
There is a fair amount coming this year. I think
they're both different games. I don't know. I don't think Marvel is quite as XCOM-y as we think. I think we're just making that link quite lazily because it's the same dev, but I don't think...
Well, okay, but I don't think anyone wants to like play with cards in that type of environment. Like, that's just the vibe I'm getting. I don't want to say that, actually. It's not exciting to me.
It's just in. Shannon hates card games. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Splatoon fans here.
Negative.
I had that on my list that I quickly just wrote out, but I don't feel like it's going to do anything crazily new to the point that it deserves to be mentioned. I'd be keen to play, like, it hasn't been announced
yet.
Is on the radar, but I feel like I'd be keen to play like Wind Waker again if that's coming, HD version of that, and Metroid Prime, and Pokemon, no one's mentioned. That'll be cool. There is a lot coming this holiday, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel like we've just rattled off like 15 to 20 games in the last couple of minutes.
Don't forget about multiverses as well.
Multiverses is on my list as well, actually. Yeah. Very excited
Bayonetta
for that.
3 will be a good Nintendo one.
And is that coming out this year?
Yeah, well,
allegedly.
Yeah, should be.
And even Oxenfree 2 is meant to be this year.
I'm not too hot. I'm worried. I didn't like After Party as much.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm sure maybe they're back on form. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope that shapes up.
Well, it's going to be an exciting few months.
Yeah, that's a hell of a lot of games we've just discussed. I kind of wasn't sure going into this conversation.
Very optimistic of us.
How much we would say, but yeah. I'm glad we're all in agreement that The Last of Us is what we're most excited to play and that's going to be the game 100%. Of the year. That's great. Very proud of
us. I might just start writing the article now, actually.
Yeah. start whipping up the graphics. Done. Yeah. Done deal. All right. On that note, let me ask you a quick rapid-fire question, which going back to something I think Shannon mentioned, snuck in just before, and that is Fall Guys, which has gone free-to-play. I know it was something the four of us, I should say, had a bit of fun with right when it initially launched, but we haven't really touched back in on since. Shannon, the new season of Fall Guys gone free-to-play, is it going to lure you back?
It is going to lure me back. Not the fact that it's free to play, but the fact that it's just on everything and season pass, and it just feels more compelling now.
Probably should have mentioned that this is the rapid fire question of the day, but that sounds like a yes.
If you're all in,
guys, you're going to go back to it.
I already have. Wow,
you already have. Wow,
I have. I did.
You can't elaborate, I'm afraid. It's the rapid fire.
I'm not allowed to talk though.
We don't need the details.
This is how we keep the episode tight.
Unless you talk about what Ewan wants to talk about, then we can talk about it for ages. But yeah.
This is the privileges of being the host, mate. Brody, what do you want to... You going to play some more Fall Guys?
I've just installed it on my Series S, so yes.
Excellent. Love that for us. All right, now it's time for What the Wiki, the Pressed Up podcast game show where the previous week's winner is part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. The first to guess two games correctly wins the round and takes home the point. Last week, that point was awarded to James, who reclaimed top position on 7 points. Brady is hot on his heels, though, on 6. Shannon just behind on 5. Myself, with a bit of a gap now, yeah, with only 2 points. Kieran on 1, and Harry and Stephen, 0 points. But James, as last week's winner, you are today's host. Take it away.
So, the first one that I have doesn't actually have a Wikipedia page, which I find concerning.
Oh, is this What the Steam?
Yeah.
It's What the Publisher website-y, I guess.
Doesn't quite have the same ring to it, but
yeah, I'll see if you guys can get this, but I don't understand how there's no Wikipedia page for this game, considering it's out in a few months, but we'll see.
Oh, was a hint?
Interesting.
There is a hint. Okay. Evil never sleeps, but it bleeds.
That's Shannon.
Oh, yeah. Shannon, go.
Evil West.
Oh, my God. It is Evil West.
Oh, well done.
How does that not have a Wikipedia page? Like, I was convinced it was that, but...
Wow. Shannon's been pitched something to do with that game. Let's He's too familiar with that tag. Yeah.
I'm actually the creator.
Yeah. We'll fucking put up a Wikipedia page for it then.
Well, that was lackluster.
Well,
that's one. It's not over yet. The night is still young.
Needs to win. Needs to guess two to get the point.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. Exploration and battle mechanics both take place in real time, like previous games in the series. The game features an altered battle system from the original, which gradually fills up slowly or can fill faster with attacks. Once it is filled, the player can halt the actions and use special abilities such as magic, items, and special moves. The player can assign these special abilities to shortcut buttons, allowing to play in real time without pausing. Each special ability uses up a segment of the ATB bar.
Ewan.
Yes,
Ewan. I'm going to take a stab.
Yeah.
Is this Final Fantasy 16?
No, it's not.
Damn.
Wow. Embarrassing.
Compelling.
Shannon.
The player can... Shannon,
oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, my God.
Final Fantasy Crisis Core Reunion. You better give it to me if it is that.
It's not that, so...
Wow, okay.
Oh, thank fuck.
Brody, do you want to try?
Is that the end of the paragraph, or can I have a little bit
for
free?
It is. So, it's a free guess.
Companions in real time. I'm drawing a blank. Nothing's coming to me.
The player can switch between party members at any time during battle. Each party member has their own individual skills, such as close quarters melee attacks and long range distance attacks.
Shannon.
Ewan.
Nah, that was me. Sorry.
Yeah, Shannon.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I don't know.
Are we totally on the wrong track with them in Final Fantasy? Surely not.
There's fucking 78 of them, so good luck.
Yeah.
Players are able to use magic and summons of large creatures. I reckon Kieran is rolling in his grave if he was dead right now. and a limit break cage allows characters to perform more. Yes, Ewan.
This is Final Fantasy 15.
No, for fuck's sake.
Can I be back? Well,
the game is more real time.
Can I? I'm back. I'm back.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Brody. I thought this would be a throwaway. Yeah, Brody was next. Yep.
Final Fantasy VII Remake.
It is Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Wow,
literally, wowee. So Brody won.
Well, our guesses were better. And it could have been like, there, to be the fair. Game.
It's not in the spirit of what I'm doing.
Could have been okay? Any of them.
Okay. Well, let's see how we go. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. The game is an action role-playing game set in an open-world environment and played from a third-person perspective. The player is able to select between various vocations: fighter, strider, mage, warrior, mystic knight, ranger, assassin, sorcerer, and magic archer. Gender choice and appearances are also available. The vocation or class system changes gameplay and tactical options available to the player. For example, the fighter has abilities that can focus on hack and slash, while striders are skilled at climbing larger enemies. The game is designed to be playable even by those who are not skilled at action games.
Shannon. Nah.
Shannon?
Diablo 4.
No, sorry. One of the game's main innovations is the pawn system. While the player's party is exploring the world, three party members who accompany the main character are controlled by artificial intelligence, but the player can issue orders to them. One of the party members is an NPC.
Fuck. Sorry, go on.
And belongs to the main character's world, while the other two party members are borrowed from other players by connecting online. The party members, referred to as pawns, can talk, seek the main character's help, and provide information
about enemies.
Keep saying pawn.
I really don't. I don't know any RPGs.
E-A-W-N. I'm going to take a stab in the dark.
Yeah, go on.
Ewan, is it Monster Hunter World?
It isn't. No.
Okay.
This is a good round. You guys are cooked.
What kind of... Yeah, kind of cooking it.
The game is an action role-playing hack-and-slash video game developed and published by Capcom for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 in 2012. Oh. An enhanced version was released... Was that Brody?
No, I was going, oh.
An enhanced version was released for in 2013 and then later ported to PC, PS4, and Xbox One in 2017.
Shannon. Dragon's Dogma.
It is Dragon's Dogma. Congratulations.
Wow.
That was a good round. I liked it.
So the theme, it was like games that had sequels announced in the last week. That was the theme. And then Evil West, they just put out a new video, so I thought I'd throw that a bone.
Thanks.
So the theme was not really the theme.
Yeah, I was like,
well, what? I don't announce the theme beforehand because I think that's dispirited.
But there was no
theme. You shouldn't announce a theme after if there's no theme.
There was a theme for 60% of them had a theme.
Had its own story.
Okay, theme.
Evil West is a sequel to Weird West. There, done.
That's not true.
That's
and it doesn't matter. You weren't announcing sequels. You were announcing games that have sequels announced. So,
yeah.
When anyway, do you know what, Brody? Next time you win, you can host.
I will. That's how it works.
Damn.
Yeah, good.
Shot. I work for cover.
I read last week. What are you talking about?
I don't see it again in your future.
Oh yeah.
Well, just to
not.
Quickly recap the point score there, Shannon winning today's round. You now draw a level with Brody on 6 points. I love how spicy it is between the three of you. Hopefully, I can like get in the mix and score
enough.
Some points just to. Just to keep it interesting, I'd love to have a head-to-head with the three of you.
It's pretty tight at the top there. We might have to take our shirts off.
Wait, what? Wait,
hello.
What do you mean take your shirts off?
Just because it's getting tight at the top.
Where did that come from?
It's a bit
warm. It's getting hot. That's for sure. Yeah. Like, take. It's getting hot in here. You got to take your clothes off, right? That's how the song goes.
That's a Nelly.
It's only hot.
Nelly tune.
Ewan has a fever.
It's true. Yeah, it
Ewan's
feels
about
like
to pass
it's
out.
70
we need to
degrees
end this
in here. My throat's about to give up. With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Shannon.
You can follow me at shancake_ on Twitter.
Also joining us today was James.
You can follow me on at Jams on Twitter. So that's ATJAMZ if you can't spell.
And lastly, it was Brody.
Thanks. You can follow me on Twitter also at Brody_DG.
And I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me on Twitter at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, assuming I make it, happy gaming.
Bye.